As I'm setting up this file here, you can open to 1 Kings chapter 9. Loving kindness, all that has been part of your plan and purpose. And we just say that we are honoring to you as we partake of your word and as we allow you, Holy Spirit, to make it that which is your heart in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please stand in honor and recognition of being before Jehovah and his holy and awesome presence as we declare the Shema and read his word together. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheicha, Ve'akol Lavecha, Uve'kol Neshevcha, Uve'kol Medecha, Ve'ahavta racha kamocha. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Okay, this morning's reading is the 9th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Please follow along as I read it. 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And as for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your son shall indeed turn away from following me and shall not keep my statutes which I have set before you and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples, and this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. And it came about at the end of 20 years, in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress timber and gold according to all his desire. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. So Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him. And he said, what are these cities which you have given me, my brother? So they were called the land of Kabul to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Now this is the account of the forced labor which King Solomon levied to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Milo, and the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and captured Gezer and burned it with fire and killed the Canaanites who lived in the city and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and the lower Beth Horon and Baalath and Tamir in the wilderness in the land of Judah, and all the storage cities which Solomon had, even the cities for his chariots and the cities for his horsemen, and all that it pleased Solomon to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land under his rule. As for all the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not of the sons of Israel, their descendants who were left of them in the land, whom the sons of Israel were unable to destroy utterly, from them Solomon levied forced laborers even to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of the sons of Israel, for they were men of war, his servants, his princes, his captains, his chariot commanders, and his horsemen. These were the chief officers who were over Solomon's work, 550, who ruled over the people doing the work. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her, then he built the Milo. Now three times in a year Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he built to the Lord, burning incense with them on the altar which was before the Lord. So he finished the house. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, sailors who knew the sea, along with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir and took 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to Solomon. Thank you, Lord, for your life and your truth. We ask that you would accomplish everything that you intend for us in our time together as your people. Amen. Please be seated. 1 Kings 9, 4 and 5. And as for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. In this morning's passage, we are once again presented with the promise from God, this time to Solomon, the son of David. The Lord had made this exact promise to King David with regard to the fact that there would come one from the lineage of David who would sit on the throne of Israel forever and forever. This was to encourage David with respect to the value that was forthcoming from his heart unto God and from God's heart unto this man who was being the shepherd of the flock of Jehovah, the people of the Lord. We find this recounted for us as in 2 Samuel 7, 10 through 16. 2 Samuel 7, 10 through 16. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. For nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. This promise was so important to both Jehovah and to David. It meant the difference between a kingdom like that of King Saul, which could be ended with death in battle or at the hands of someone who would try to wrest the kingdom away, like Absalom, with no heir and no means of seeing anything else come to fruition. History is filled with all those accounts of the kingdoms and monarchies and dynasties that have all flittered away through some means or another. There is no permanence to a legacy that will stand the test of time, such as the one that was established by God through that human lineage of David. We will trace this line, although it wavered and seemed to disappear here and there, as humanity did follow the lusts of their hearts rather than the precepts and the love of God. However, as will be evidenced, that promise made to King David and then again to King Solomon is now well established throughout the eternal ages in the Messiah, the Son of God and the Son of David. We saw that this promise was so important to King David because he made sure to reiterate it to his son Solomon before Solomon ascended to the throne of Israel. This is detailed us toward the beginning of our current book of consideration, if you will recall, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. David was giving those instructions to Solomon with respect to taking that place upon the throne. David was soon to depart from earthly life. 1 Kings 2, 3 and 4. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Not only was Solomon so encouraged by his earthly father before his ascension to the throne, but God made this very, very clearly stated to Solomon as well. Both his earthly and his heavenly fathers detailed the manner in which Solomon was to be before both man and God. 1 Kings 6, 11 through 13 details the encouragement from Jehovah to this young king to maintain the heart of love for all the precepts of the Lord. This was the evidence that was manifested the giving of the Christ was to be through the lineage of David, which came through the line of his son Solomon. 1 Kings 6, 11 through 13. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and execute my ordinances and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will carry out my word with you which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. As Solomon completed the work of the building of the temple of the presence of Jehovah with his people, this king made it very clearly understood how important this entire project was with regard to the relationship that the Lord God Almighty had within the heart of his father David. Solomon had been charged with the building of the temple by the Lord in response to that earnest desire of David to so bless Yahweh in a most tangible manner. This was pleasing to the Lord because it represented His placement within the nation that He had formed after releasing them from the slavery of Egypt. This included both that physical enslavement as well as their spiritual bondage to all the gods of that land. 1 Kings 8:15 through 21. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and has fulfilled it with his hand, saying, since the day that I brought my people Israel from Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who shall be born to you, he shall build the house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke. For I have risen in place of my father David, and sit on the throne of it as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. And there I have set a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them from the land of Egypt." David's heart after the Lord was an earnest and sincere one, filled with expressed love and adoration and complete commitment to Jehovah. He was not perfect in this, as was evidenced in his blatant adultery with Bathsheba and the subsequent murder of Uriah. This deliberate sin caused such anguish and repentance to exude forth from David in that desperate beseeching after God to bring restoration of fellowship back into the relationship. David yearned for that with every fiber of his essence. The Psalms are filled with those plaintive and humbled cries from the heart of David for the forgiveness and the reestablishment of that which he had so callously and foolishly turned from in that act of willful sinning. It mattered deeply and absolutely to this man to know the face of God shining upon him, and to offer to Jehovah those sacrifices of praise and adoration and worship which would bless God in His sanctuary. As a result of this repentant heart after the will and the blessing of God, we have once more in 1 Chronicles 22, 9 and 10, with that added forcefulness of the voice of Jehovah, the promise of the eternal lordship that would be forthcoming from this lineage of David. This would be through the heritage of his son Solomon, with the eventual giving of the long-awaited and eternal son of David, to come at the appointed time of Yahweh's determination. 1 Chronicles 22, 9 and 10. "Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. This heart of David unto the glory of the Lord in the proclamation of this promise so given was to the people through his lineage, and it fills the essence of many, many of the Psalms. There is especially in Psalm 89 the expressed love unto Jehovah for the manner in which this relationship of love and adoration and worship was met with the shining light of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. This was instilled in knowing that the promise of God was sure and would be accomplished. We will begin with reading verses 1 through 4 of this 89th Psalm. Psalm 89, 1 through 4. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. Selah. Stop. Think about this. Take the time at this point and consider what has been proclaimed for all who read this with the love of God in their hearts. This fills our conscious endeavors to so bless and honor and bring praise to the Most High. We are to sing of His loving kindness forever. How often do we stop in our tracks and express to God the depth of the love of our utter awestruck joy and thankfulness and humbleness in consideration of His loving kindness which encircles and is wrought each day of each year of our lives, every moment of every day. Think of the fact that we have oxygen, that we have water, that we have every provision to meet the needs of our day, each and every day that we walk on this earth. Selah. Yes, we have those days when everything seems to be going wrong. Yes, we have those times of brokenness and sinful rebellion, and God must rebuke and chastise us as His beloved and cherished children. But even that is done in the love of God for our betterment and for our establishment into the greater measure of the love of God being forthcoming from our lives to bless others. Selah. We have that Son of David as our King. Jesus is ruling and overruling everything that is in place on this earth. We are His, and He is making known to those who are so blessed with the eyes that have been opened by the very loving kindness and mercy and grace of God to see Him high and lifted up, seated on the throne over all of His creation. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is our brother. He is our everything. Praise the Lord and make that declaration to be heard today, tomorrow, and forever and forevermore. Selah. Then we read the manifested working power of God evidenced in verses 20 through 37 of this 89th Psalm. Oh, what joy to consider Jesus in His place as the Son of David, the promised and glorified King of kings and Lord of lords. Psalm 89, 20 through 37. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. But I shall crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. And my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. And in my name his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. Selah. Selah. This is Jesus in all his glory and his placement as the eternal and glorified one. His throne is forever and forever. There will be no end to that which is established by God as the promised one rules heaven and earth with the holiness and the justice and the truth and the mercy and the grace and the faithfulness of God. Selah. Then in Psalm 132:11 through 18, we have the reiteration of the fact that God will accomplish this. It will not be by the work of men that which always fades away with the passage of time. It will not be because there was some concerted effort by a band of people to try to hedge together a semblance of religious and human delineation of a chosen bloodline that the Son of David will come forth. No. God did all that was required as detailed fully and manifestly in His Word to establish and to fulfill that promise of the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. This was by the working power of the divine establishment of His faithfulness, bringing it all into fulfillment. Psalm 132:11-18. The Lord has sworn to David a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. If your son keep my covenant and my testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her needy with bread. Her priests also I will clothe with salvation, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. There I will cause the horn of David to spring forth. I have prepared a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall shine. The prophet Jeremiah closes this morning for us with that which is proclaimed in Jeremiah 17:24-26. This is with regard to what the Lord declared with respect to His honoring of the temple that was built, not by the hands of Solomon, but by the hands of God, as He would knit together a people who would be so built into this eternal dwelling place of the Most High. Again, this is with respect to the Promised One who was to come to so establish and to build the true and lasting dwelling place of God with man. Jeremiah 17:24-26. But it will come about, if you listen attentively to me, declares the Lord, to bring no load in through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to keep the Sabbath day holy by no work on it. Then there will come in through the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city will be inhabited forever. They will come in from the cities of Judah and from the environs of Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and incense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. In Jesus, as we will study in our next time together, Lord willing, everything has come into place that was promised all those ages ago. The Lord has manifestly more than established and maintained and fulfilled that great pledge to David in the giving of His only begotten Son for the sake of the redemption of all who will but so call upon His name. So be it. And as for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Amen. Amen.